Democratic Party has chosen John Tester to lead their campaign efforts for the 2016 election. That's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. I'm Eric Whitney.
And I'm Christopher Allen. We'll also hear from Democrats in the state legislature who are calling for climate change policies and from folks helping out with the transfer of a herd of former Yellowstone bison from Ted Turner's ranch to the Fort Peck Reservation. News about getting Native Americans to buy health insurance, too.
Montana Senator John Tester was named chair of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee today. On his Twitter feed, Tester said, "I'm accepting the position with the DSCC to recruit and support candidates who understand the issues facing regular working Americans." In an interview with Montana Public Radio Monday, Tester said he was considering the campaign leadership position, but wasn't sure he'd be able to do it and fulfill his responsibilities as a senator and satisfy the needs of his farm. But he did articulate the direction he'd take Democrats if he was made leader of the party's Senate campaign efforts.
Our focus and policies need to be on the middle class. We have had a vibrant middle class that's been the envy of the world, and we're losing that. We're having folks fall into poverty, and we're having folks at the top end becoming incredibly rich. And there's nothing wrong with that if you can keep your middle class. But the truth is our middle class is in decline, and we need to do some things to help reinvigorate it. That's where I would push the caucus.
John Tester is a 58-year-old organic farmer from Big Sandy in his second term in the Senate. He's next up for re-election himself in 2018.
A herd of wild bison relocated from Yellowstone National Park arrived at Montana's Fort Peck Indian Reservation today. The bison were initially captured migrating out of Yellowstone National Park and were kept on media mogul Ted Turner's ranch for the last 5 years. Tommy Christian is a 15-year member of the Assiniboine and Sioux Tribal Council. He says many tribes, including those he represents on Fort Peck, have a strong relationship with the animals and have only recently been able to express it since hunters nearly massacred the entire species.
They thought they would kill us if they killed off the buffalo. Well, it's just kind of ironic because now the buffalo are coming back and our people are getting stronger and wishing to kind of establish ourselves in our own right from a cultural perspective, eh?
The transfer of the 139 genetically pure bison is the result of the first treaty signed between the U.S. government and Indian nations in 150 years. Christian was a part of the treaty signing.
We're utilizing the treaty nation to nation to signify that friendship or that relationship in a good way. We reestablished that signatorily wise with the signing of that treaty.
Fort Peck Fish and Game officials said two tractor trailers carrying almost 100 bison were being unloaded on the reservation today. A third shipment of several dozen more animals is due Friday. The bison will be kept in a 140-acre pen at first before moving to a 13,000-acre pasture later this month. They join about 48 Yellowstone bison previously obtained by Fort Peck. The tribes hope to expand the herd to about 300 animals. Tribal officials say the bison will be used for food and cultural ceremonies to help create and to help create pure herds of bison elsewhere.
Nearly half of all Montana kids are growing up in low-income households. That's according to the latest Montana Kids Count Policy Report put out by the Annie E. Casey Foundation. The report concludes it's going to take a coordinated approach to help lift kids out of those circumstances. The foundation publishes the report with the aim of giving lawmakers and children's advocates data-driven policy recommendations to help children and families. Jennifer Calder is a Montana Kids Count spokeswoman based at the University of Montana's Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
We know that a child that's raised in poverty is more likely to become an adult living in poverty. So we really need to figure out how to give these children a chance to succeed, and knowing that children succeed when families succeed.
The official federal poverty level for a family of four is $23,500 a year. Kids Count officials say government agencies usually view poor parents and children separately instead of as a cohesive family facing a unified challenge. It says too many families contend with inflexible, low-wage jobs and a lack of early childhood education and child care. Jennifer Calder says the report, Creating Opportunities for Families, a Two-Generation Approach, suggests entire families would be better served in one fell swoop.
You have to provide high-quality early education while simultaneously building the parents' capacity and skills so that they can both build their skills as parents and also build their skills so they can, say, finish their education, so they can get better jobs and so forth. So both of those things need to happen simultaneously.
Calder says that coordinated approach is already working in Montana and points to Bozeman's partnership program as one example.
So it's Thrive, which is a nonprofit, the Gallatin Mental Health Center, the Gallatin City County Public Health Department, and high-quality child care programs in the area. And they meet regularly, and they talk about families, and they say, what are the needs of this family? And then they figure out what services can meet those needs. And it's been much, much more effective, this coordinated approach, than just, say, having one organization, one program work with them, say, home visiting in isolation.
Governor Steve Bullock will present the legislature with a proposed $37 million program dubbed Early Edge Montana that would make block grants available to every school district in the state. The money would fund voluntary preschool programs. Public school districts could create a brand new program or partner with an existing local preschool. Calder says that program would help Montana families. Critics wonder about its expense and value to taxpayers. A link to the full Kids Count report can be found on our website at mtpr.org. Starting on Saturday, Montanans can begin buying health insurance for next year on the healthcare.gov website. One group in the state that's been slow to do that are Native Americans. Native Americans are exempt from the health law's requirement to have health insurance coverage. That's because they're eligible for health care through the Indian Health Service, or IHS. Since the federal government promised in treaties to provide health care in exchange for tribes giving up their land. How's the IHS doing? Montana Senator John Tester, who sits on both the Veterans and Indian Affairs Committees, puts it this way.
The VA is actually in better shape than Indian Health Service. It is really in tough shape, basically runs out of money about 9 months into the fiscal year. I mean, it's really in crisis.
The IHS budget crisis means tribal members can often only get health care when they're in immediate danger of losing life or limb, says Lisa Evers, a Blackfeet descendant and member of the Turtle Mountain Tribe who works for Montana's State Health Department.
If you have an individual who really requires a knee surgery from trying to play basketball with their kids or whatever they tried to do, they may never have that opportunity to have that knee surgery.
Buying private health coverage would give them access to more health care providers, and subsidies under the health care law are making insurance affordable for many Indians. But efforts to get them to enroll in private coverage aren't bearing much fruit yet. Less than 0.5% of people who enrolled in health coverage nationwide last year are Native American. Evers says there needs to be more outreach to tribes.
I think people need education first. They need to understand it, to learn about it. And they want to do that from people they trust. And that's how, you know, people communicate in Indian country. It's a lot about what your friends say and what your family say, and that's who they trust.
Evers says that so far only a handful of healthcare navigators have been deployed to reservations or to the estimated 1/2 of the Native population that lives off of reservations to help them understand the healthcare law. It's estimated that there are about 2 million people who are members of federally recognized Native American tribes nationwide.
As the state of Montana grapples to find ways of reducing its carbon dioxide emissions under proposed new federal rules, a collection of business people, scientists, and Democratic lawmakers is pushing the incoming legislature to put more renewable energy to work as part of the solution. As Montana Public Radio's Steve Jess reports, the group is nudging the Republican-controlled legislature to take small steps.
In the current political climate, minority Democrats know that the odds of passing major climate change legislation are slim to none. But a proposal by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency to reduce carbon emissions by 21% by the year 2030 might force the state to take action. The state's coal industry and electric power producers say cutting carbon emissions by more than 1/5 could require draconian measures, like closing one of the state's coal-fired power plants. At a news conference today, Missoula State Senator Dick Barrett, a Democrat, disagreed.
We can do that almost exclusively through renewables and efficiency. By complying with the plan in that way, we're creating all kinds of opportunity for people in Montana, both in the area of efficiency and renewables. So we definitely think this is a win-win kind of a policy for Montana, and that's what we'll be working for in the legislature during the coming session.
The vision that Barrett and the others shared today would try to meet the EPA carbon reduction rule by reducing energy use through conservation and using economic incentives to increase the state's renewable energy portfolio. The group was short on specific proposals, but Missoula Democratic Senator Sue Malik mentioned one idea that was voted down in 2013, expanding Montana's net metering allowance to allow consumers who have their own solar or wind generators to sell more of their excess power.
Right now, our net metering only allows 1 meter and is very limited in the amount of energy that you can use to lower your bills. So, for instance, in Missoula, we built a parking garage, and the amount of energy that's generated with the solar panels there are not eligible for reducing the bills for that project.
A bill to expand net metering died in the Senate in 2013 on a close vote. Northwestern Energy, Montana's largest electric utility, claimed net metering unfairly shifts the cost of power production to customers who don't have their own renewable energy systems. Now that the state faces pressure from the federal government to do something about carbon emissions, Barrett, Malik, and the others hope the legislature will view these kinds of renewable energy incentives more favorably. Reporting from Helena, I'm Steve Jess, Montana Public Radio.
Montana Supreme Court Justice Mike Wheat says the partisan attack launched against him as he ran for re-election won't impact his work on the state's highest court. Yellowstone Public Radio's Jackie Yamanaka sat down with Wheat in his chambers to reflect back on last week's general election results.
Mike Wheat is familiar with political campaigns. He served in the Montana State Senate, and he ran an unsuccessful campaign for state attorney general in 2008. A couple of years later, he was appointed to the Montana Supreme Court by then-Governor Brian Schweitzer. Wheat thinks out-of-state interests targeted him because of his past ties to the Democratic Party, viewing him as vulnerable in a Republican state.
They tried to cast me as an extremely dangerous liberal-type person, making it a partisan race.
Wheat faced former state solicitor Lawrence Van Dyke on last week's general election ballot. Hundreds of thousands of dollars poured into Montana from numerous out-of-state, conservative, and pro-business interests. Wheat fought back.
That's what the outside money was trying to do in my race, is they were taking snippets of my record and using it to mischaracterize me personally and my record and smear my reputation. I didn't appreciate it.
He prevailed by a 59 to nearly 41% margin. Wheat thinks the results reflect Montana's desire to keep the court nonpartisan and independent. So will the experience from this campaign make him think twice when he approaches his work on the court?
For me personally, it's not going to change the way I make decisions. The minute a judge starts making decisions based on how he thinks somebody's going to react to it, he's not making the right decision, or she.
But Wheat is worried in the future qualified attorneys will shy away from getting torn apart in a partisan political world unless the state rethinks how judges are selected for the bench. Wheat says the judiciary shouldn't be bantered about by political wins. He says behind every case are people, and each ruling impacts lives. But he says the glue that holds this branch together are judges making decisions on the basis of the facts and the law. Jackie Yamanaka, YPR News, The Capitol.
Montana Attorney General Tim Fox has asked federal officials to withdraw a proposed rule that would redefine how streams and waterways are protected under the Clean Water Act. Fox announced today that he's joined attorney generals from 11 states in opposing the joint rule from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers. EPA administrators have said the proposal merely clarifies what bodies of water are already under federal jurisdiction. Opponents worry it will let the federal regulators dictate what people can do with their land. Fox says the rule exceeds the federal government's authority and violates Montana's sovereignty. A public comment period on the proposal closes Friday.
State wildlife officials have approved a plan to issue elk kill permits to landowners in southern Montana as part of an effort to reduce the spread of brucellosis disease to cattle. Today's action by Fish, Wildlife, and Parks commissioners applies to the 2014-15 season. It'll allow up to 250 elk to be taken by permitted landowners and hunters during dispersal hunts. Hazing could also be used at times to keep elk away from cattle. Cows infected with brucellosis can prematurely abort their young. A spokesman for the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks says the plan represents a reasonable approach.
And now the weather forecast for our listening area, west of the Divide. There's a winter weather advisory in effect today and tomorrow for the Butte-Blackfoot region, Missoula-Bitterroot Valleys, and the Bitterroot-Sapphire Mountains. Tonight, snow is likely, low 0 to 7 above 0. Friday, snow also likely, highs 17 to 24, lows 1 below to 8 below 0. Central Montana tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of snow after midnight, lows 5 below to 15 below 0. Friday, mostly cloudy, chance of snow possible throughout the day, highs 5 to 10 degrees, lows 5 below to 10 below 0. And in southwest Montana, a winter weather advisory is also in effect until 5 a.m. Saturday for Beaverhead, Madison, Jefferson, and Gallatin counties. Tonight, snow likely with lows 0 to 10 above 0. Friday, cloudy with some snow, highs 15 to 25 degrees, lows 5 below to 10 below 0. And now for the editorial comments of Jay Bodner.
Montana has long been known as an agricultural state. Farming and ranching contribute billions to the state's economy as Montana's largest business sector. In fact, there are 2.5 cattle for every Montana resident. Over 28,000 farms and ranches are in Montana today, each working every day to conserve and sustain the environment we all call home. The Montana Stockgrower Association has been representing the state's ranchers since 1884 in a continually evolving business atmosphere. 2014 has brought its share of challenges ranging from harsh winter conditions, flooding late summer rains, and changes to state and federal regulations. One of the most pressing issues for our farmers and ranchers in 2014 has been proposed changes to the Clean Water Act from the Environmental Protection Agency. The EPA wants to broaden their definition of waters of the U.S., which would increase their jurisdiction to regulate not only more water, but also potentially more of the land surrounding those waterways. Farmers and ranchers rely on clean water for their crops and livestock and are often at the front line of maintaining and improving water quality to sustain and conserve our environment. Irrigation plays a critical role in farming and ranching in Montana, whether it's for growing forages or crops. EPA's proposed rule could change the agency's jurisdiction when it comes to regulating both land and water that Montana farmers and ranchers depend on for a living. As an organization representing farmers and ranchers who have cared for the land for many generations, Montana Stock Growers believes these individuals do a great job of conserving and sustaining a clean water supply, not only for their land, but also for everyone downstream, including water supplies for many wildlife and Montana communities. Due to the complexity of the issue, there has been a large degree of confusion and uncertainty from the people directly affected by this proposed rule change. Montana Stock Growers Association asked the EPA drop the proposed rule changes to the Clean Water Act. If the proposed rule cannot be dropped, Montana stock growers ask that the EPA address our concerns and recommendations. We ask that EPA reconsider the expansion of the Clean Water Act to intermittent and ephemeral non-navigable streams, which are defined as tributaries and per se jurisdictional by the EPA under the proposed rule. EPA should remove the inclusion of ditches in the definition of tributary and the provision that would make isolated wetlands, ponds, and other open waters per se jurisdictional if they are located within a riparian area or floodplain. Under the EPA's current proposal, the exclusions and exemptions provided are unclear and too narrow to provide protections for landowners. Clarification is needed prior to moving forward with the rule. Due to the inadequate input from landowners, we request the EPA to immediately withdraw the interpretive rule that limits the Section 404 Normal Farming, Silviculture, and Ranching exemption to 56 NRCS practices, which are important to farmers and ranchers in conservation of their land and water resources. As currently written, the proposed rule removes states' rights to manage waters and land use activity. This proposed rule is an overreach that makes all waters federal, violating the Commerce Clause of the Constitution and the plain language of the Clean Water Act. Montana's farmers and ranchers encourage the federal agencies to engage in meaningful discussions with the states to better define the areas, if there are any, which states feel are deficient in meeting water quality standards. Montana's water quality laws are very comprehensive, do a good job of regulating the quantity of water used by agriculture, and ensure that water quality remains a priority when it comes to impacts on our environment, wildlife, and surrounding communities. The EPA's proposed actions on this rule-making process are a strong reminder to farmers, ranchers, and members of the agricultural community of the need to remain actively involved in the policy-making processes, working to keep state and federal agencies aware of the continual improvements taking place so that we may continue being good stewards of our environment and resources. Montana Stockgrower Association encourages farmers and ranchers to remain active in their communities and be engaged in conversations surrounding these critical issues that affect our ability to produce food, fiber, and fuel products for Montanans and a growing global population. We also encourage all Montana residents to take an active role in learning more about how our food is produced and how Montana farmers and ranchers work to ensure the quality and safety of that food supply and the environment in which we live and work. To learn more about the Montana Stock Growers Association and our state's farmers and ranchers, contact the MSGA office in Helena at 406-442-3420 or visit mtbeef.org.
Jay Bodner is one of the many commentators on Montana Evening Edition. Their opinions don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment about any of our stories, post it on our website at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Christopher Allen. Please join Edward O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News. Thanks for listening.